Father, we thank you this evening. From the beginning of the creation of what we look at to the eternal picture that you see, Lord, you are not in a hurry. You are not in trouble. You have not fallen off your throne. You are and ever will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is in you in whom we put our trust. Lord, you're our stability. You're our calmness. Lord, you're our hope. You are everything that we will ever need. And I pray tonight, Lord, that your special touch would be on your word, Lord Jesus, that we would grow in desire and hunger for the living word of God, Lord, because it is Jesus Christ in his finest. Lord, I ask you, Father, to touch each one. Lord God, and open your word to our souls, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When the Ziegrings were here, I had referenced a scripture in Acts 18, 1 to 3. So if you'd like to turn to it, that would be most enjoyable. How many love the book of Acts? And you realize that the book Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the people? Okay. Must always keep it in perspective. Acts 18. 1 to 3. And after this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. And every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, and he was trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. I'm interested in the fact that these two gentlemen had the same craft. They had the same occupation. How many know the Lord uses your occupation, your gifts, your talents, exactly the way he intended to? And we don't even know it sometimes. Do you believe that you just happen poof to be at some place in your life? Or do you believe God directs it if we're following him? That's what this story basically is about. Now, there are people that are in jobs that probably don't particularly highlight their gifts. That's possible, but you have to feed yourself and your family. And God honors that. So if it's not an occupation you're in that delights your soul, join the club. I've been in one for about 17 years. But I've had great chances to witness, so God has used it. I was thinking about some of the jobs that people hold. And you here, most of you probably don't know who some of these people are. But if you do, it may be of interest to you. Some of the jobs they used to hold. Now, I don't know if you know who Cyndi Lauper is. She's a singer, has a song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. She's a rather wild gal. And anyway, she has different color hair, so somebody called her years ago Hair by Crayola because there were so many different colors. But anyway, she used to clean out dog kennels. Can you imagine somebody that can command 20,000, 30,000 people in an arena at one time cleaning out the kennel? The dog was more important. And Rod Stewart, who was a rocker, he's a singer, he used to be a grave digger. Now, that may have come in handy for some of his people that of the 60s. And a few of those rockers that really look like they're just dead standing straight up, I think. But nonetheless, some of them have survived. Warren Beatty, who's an actor, producer, director, he used to be a rat catcher. How'd you like that job? I remember one time at work, we had mice pretty bad because they had food in the basement. And I don't know why, but they always died at my desk. And I kept telling people, this is not the last rites. Don't send them my way. And so they ultimately had to do a live bait because they couldn't get rid of them. So I would think Mr. Beatty, being a rat catcher, that would be pretty disgusting. But it has to be done because I ain't doing it. I think they need to go do it in New York because I've heard there's a lot of problems with that in the New York restaurants. So think about that before you see the menu. But anyway, some of you maybe have heard of Whoopi Goldberg, whose original name is Karen Johnson. She took her name from a whoopee cushion because it made people laugh and it got attention. She used to be a bricklayer, and at one time, she was a mortuary cosmetologist. So she was making up these people, and the good part about it is she didn't have any complaints. Nobody's talking back. Yeah. But how many know as a Christian, God uses every part of your life if you let him? And something you would think would be totally, you know, unimportant would be important. In Bible school, I did a study on Billy Sunday, who was an evangelist back in the old days, years and years and years ago. And he was an interesting person because he used to be a baseball player. And then he worked for the YMCA, and he had all kinds of divergent occupations, really. And then when the Lord saved him, you could almost see God put all this together, because the man could take an offering of a huge tent meeting in like 6 minutes. I mean, he didn't drag it out. He let the Holy Spirit speak to people, you know. And then he used his ability as a baseball player, because he was very... we'll say, in the pulpit, he really got down there, okay? So he was very like this, and he'd be sliding into home plate to give a analogy and to bring people home, that kind of thing. So everything he did really came back when he started serving the Lord. Everything he learned, it was utilized. It would be called going under the fire of God's power in the utensil department to clean everything before it's used, although I'm sure there's a few things in his life God did not take with him to the pulpit. I think they probably stayed at the cross, I would imagine. But anyhow, God uses our occupations. He uses our gifts. And one of the great things about the Lord is, even when we feel like we don't have anything, which some people probably do, then he gives us supernatural gifts to use to help people. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. I mean, you just can't do better than him. So first we have Priscilla and Aquila. They're leaving Rome, and they're leaving the hard way. They got orders. Claudius said, ta-ta. There's 20,000 Jews that are in Rome at the time, and he wants them out. And so what are you going to do? Do you think you have an appeals process in Rome? I don't think so. I don't think you can have a protest like they do here. I don't think you can do any of that. The orders are to leave, and it's not a suggestion. It's an absolute. And so they pull up their stakes, literally, and they go to Corinth, which is an interesting community. It was the commercial city in Greece, a cosmopolitan area. We think of some of these cities as just being, you know, in our history books, but they were very thriving at the time. They were the it place. In fact, in Corinth, which was restored by Julius Caesar after it was destroyed, they had what was called the Temple of Aphrodite. Had on this temple, now let me, tell me if you'd go worship here, had 1,000 consecrated prostitutes. And people get upset because on some of the, you know, like this Supreme Court building, it has the Bible on there. Now, they'd be the same people that have no problem going here and having that kind of debauchery. This is what Corinth was. This is why when Paul went, it was a real minefield in mission work. Because not only, it's bad enough when they're in the house in the closet, when they come out the closet, go on the lawn and go up the political ladder, you know there's problems. because you have no place else to go. So, but God puts us in jobs and in secular communities where, truthfully, even if they're nice people, it's still heathen, isn't it? Unless it's a Christian company, and then even some of them are not run as Christian as they should be. But you find some of that behavior within the world. And as a Christian, when I was a new Christian, it was quite difficult. I told one of the bosses at the time, he said, he was saying, you get my drift, don't you? I knew what he meant. He meant, I want you to say this to these people. And I said, I don't play first drift. If you want to say that to your client, you'll have to tell him. Because I'm not going to do it. I mean, he just wanted me out, I'll lie to him. I said, no can do. I got a bigger boss. Cannot do that. So in Corinth, you'd have had that problem. It was a very evil place. But God allows us in places for reasons, doesn't he? We're not going to win them sitting on the street. We got to go find them sometimes. And God has to place us in a situation where we can win people. So what happens here is these two men, Paul and Aquila in particular, build a real bond. Because in a lot of these places, the Jews would have a certain spot where they would gather so they could meet other Jews during their journeys, because it was a comfort to them and they could worship. And Paul went there to find a certain Jew. And I talked about that morning when the Ziegrings were here. The word certain is the word Tina. So I keep reminding Tina Turnage of that heritage. But certain people to meet and greet. God has specific people. I'm so glad. I really am. I think I've told you about the time where this lady basically dragged me to a hospital to pray for this woman who was dying of cancer. And I'd already witnessed to her and shared with her and gave her the plan of salvation. And I certainly pray that she accepted it. But this gal says, she's got to get saved. She just has to. And I said, well, no, technically she don't have to. Technically she should, because it's the only answer. But we cannot make her do it. We ran there because she just floored it. We got there. She had died a minute earlier. And she was devastated. And I said, well, do you think there's another soul in the hospital? So I went in the room and witnessed to the nurse. That was the appointed moment. And I was able to share with her. The other lady had her opportunity. And obviously, I pray she took it. But I can't undo that. I mean, I'm not kidding you. She had died like 30 seconds before we walked in there. It was that close. If she would have driven any faster, we'd have been in the morgue. And I couldn't have talked to her anyhow. So, but there's no coincidences. I do not believe that. I believe that God, if we want to be used by him, he navigates our way, even if we don't understand it sometimes. So they're bound here, not only by their occupation, but they're bound by their love for Jesus Christ. They're both Jews, and they love the Master. Isn't it nice when you meet people in your work or out in the community that are Christians, and you've never known them for long, but you just have that immediate connection, which is wonderful. It's terrific, and the Lord is so wonderful to give it to us. Now, I do believe that God has places for us to be and to go. Now, why the Lord didn't allow us to come to Roslyn Park, I don't know. I would have loved to have met some of the saints that were there. But the Lord, in his wisdom, brought us to Living Springs. And we got to see another group of wonderful people. So we're very grateful. But he was very specific. We weren't going there. It was. And I didn't understand that. But it's not mine to understand. So I'm not. I'm just thanking him for the people that are here. So they formed a bond. And when it talks about the word craft, they had the same craft. The word craft, omotekuin, is a word that just means the same occupation and the same type of gifting. But I thought it was interesting. And the word, inside the word, I like to work, look in tucked inside words because I think it's interesting, is the word tech. Same word we get technical, technician, things like that. Here's people that are specific in a certain job, in a certain occupation. They're skilled people. And God uses those skilled people for specific purposes. And here, he's going to use them in the missionary work going through the churches. So God seals the bond. He sends Paul, who's an apostle, who's a missionary. And really, from everything I've ever read about him, he was one of these gangbuster guys. I mean, if he came in here, the doors would be off the hinges, and he'd say, what are we doing? He'd barely say hello. No, he'd say hello. He had beautiful greetings to people. But nonetheless, he was a mover and a shaker. And some of you may not have cared for him. Some people might not even voted him in the church. It's true. It's really true. They might not have. Of course, there's people that wouldn't have voted Jesus in either. You know, that's true too. But God voted him in, so that was good. Anyhow, what we have here is these two that are forming a union to serve God as they put a stake in the ground in every community they go to. And I like to think of it as a stake because they're tent makers, so they put a stake of the cross in every city they went. There was no question when Paul was there that he was talking about the cross. I mean, they must have said, do you have any other sermons? You got anything else? Of course, they always tell you when you're a traveling missionary, have 3 good sermons. Well, I think every message should be good, I guess. I would hope it is, but always have 3 good ones. And I don't know what they do with their bad ones, but they only take the 3 good ones with them. And I think this is interesting because when in John, the first chapter, the 14th verse, it talks about, and we've heard it for years, and you'll hear it again at Christmas, Jesus came and tabernacled amongst us. He came here. And a tabernacle is a temporary dwelling. It's a temporary tent. Paul understood a tent. He understood that kind of putting into the ground, the stake in the ground, having a canopy to protect people, which is what it was. And then that's how their churches, when they'd go from place to place. I'm sure he did that a lot because he knew it was temporary. And they maybe would be shooed out of town at some point, but at least they'd gather. At least they'd have a place to be together. Jesus, of course, was only temporary in his life here, as far as living here. He is permanent on the job. So he's still working on our behalf. And the Lord can use every kind of craft, every kind of ability, even abilities you don't know you have. I was mentioning that before. The only way you're going to find out what you do have is to use what you do have. Because the more you use it, God brings things out. And then there's something else there. And then there's something else. Isn't God fabulous how he does that? It's just terrific. I love him. So I was reading today about this mine. You know, they've got most of the people out of the mine in Chile, which is fabulous, and we're so glad for that. Although I did read that one of the wives, was protesting her husband coming out. So I don't know what that's about, you know. Well, I'm sure he has, yes, and I'm sure that she'd like somebody else to meet him at the hole. Yeah. It's a very interesting. But I thought, you know, you don't think about a company or an occupation. We think of them helping people, you know, there's a lot of that these days of volunteerism, and you've got these corporations that are all over the place, and it's because it's basically a fad, in my opinion. Whether they sincerely in their hearts believe in it, maybe some do. But nonetheless, I was reading about from this rescue, there's a company, actually there's 2 companies in Pennsylvania that actually were part of this rescue because they built the drill bits. And they said here, as they brought them through the capsule, through the 2,000-foot hole, 2,000 feet. I mean, can you wrap your head around that? People in Berlin, Pennsylvania. Now, they must have not liked that name in the 30s. But anyway, workers in the small southwestern Pennsylvania community, they paused their daily routines today to listen to the news as they came up. One by one. I think they're almost all up. I don't know that they're each one, but I think the ones that are ill and that need attention have been brought up. But I thought, now here's a company that's actually done, and they've done this before because there was another mining issue. So a company and their occupation was able, because of something they made, was able to get through that stone and bring these people up, which has to be very satisfying, I'm sure. I'm sure they're very gratified, and I'm sure their stock just went up. But I think it's wonderful that they were there for that purpose. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, the occupations, the people we meet, the talents we have, the sharing or caring in whatever level that we're doing it, it's a rescue mission. That's what it is. We just don't know it sometimes. How many times have you heard somebody say to you, you know, Beverly, at the Bible study, oh, I needed that today. God just ministered to my heart. You know, it was a rescue, even though you didn't know what was in the heart of the people. God knows. And it's a wonderful, fascinating thing of how God can use the gifts and the talents that we have or that we don't even know we have. And I believe God wants to continue to do that. He puts us in a place. Sometimes he takes us there easily. Sometimes we have to be blown through. But nonetheless, we get there. And God has a surprise waiting for us. And then he touches people. Why are you looking like that? But anyhow, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit led Paul to this heathen place, because he brought the holiness of God with him. And they needed that. Imagine the church in Corinth. They have all kinds of problems. They have all kinds of situations. Now you understand it. The people walk by the temple and all they ever saw was the debauchery of the world and of their life. They didn't see anything holy. They just saw evil. And they needed an answer. And the Lord brought it through these two gentlemen who were tent makers, who could put a stake in the ground for Jesus and cover them with the blessing and the truth of salvation. And they did that. So let's thank the Lord for that and for whatever part that you play. Even if you say, well, all I can do is pray, that's the best. Because that ignites heaven. And that's the switch that changes lives. So speaking of that, we're going to pray. Would you like to come up and lead the dance?